Hey teachers, Ben Jennings here, and we're in our session number 3 in our study on 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude. And this is, like I said, lesson number 3 in 1st Peter chapter 2, 1 through 10. Peter's writing to Christians scattered throughout Asia Minor, and he has told them that they have a living hope. It's an actual hope. It's a hope that isn't going to fade away. And so he's done that. In today's text, he begins to call them to an identity, to see themselves certain ways. And he does that pretty specifically. We can begin to understand our identity in Christ when we personally own these three pictures that he kind of paints in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. So we're going to see three pictures. He uses a lot of different metaphors, and these things point us to our identity in Christ and how we should see ourselves, and then how we should respond as a result. So the first picture he talks about are babes, right? He says in verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile," which would be like hypocrisy. Malice would be anger towards someone or bitterness. "And hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So you have this like metaphor to this first picture of babes. He's saying one of the ways to live out your identity in Christ is to think of yourself as a babe in this way, that babes desire the milk of the word. He says here, the sincere milk of the word. Though sincere means without gall or without corruption, without wax, no deceit in it. It's true. Milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Babies don't have to be taught to desire milk. Babies come default looking for food. They're looking for milk. God puts that appetite into them. And whenever they're hungry, they cry out for milk. It's like one of the few things they know how to do right from the beginning is to desire milk, and for it to be critical to their existence. And he uses this phraseology, "If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." He here tells Christians, hey, you need the word of God. You need the milk of the word of God to grow. I think this is key to any ministry in any local church that's done. Like the word of God is what God uses to do the work of God in people's hearts. And so evangelism is trying to find a way to get the word of God to people who are lost. Discipleship is finding a way to get the word of God and obedience to the word of God to people who are saved, and then to teach them to pass on the word of God to those who need to hear it, both the lost and the saved. And so our entire ministry really is connected to the word of God. In Sunday school, we're trying to teach the word of God. In the services, we're teaching the word of God. We want people to be obedient to the word of God. In private, as we disciple, as we visit, as we evangelize, what we're doing is we're giving people the word of God. And people need it. They don't always know that they need it, but they need it. And this is telling these Christians, hey, you need to, like a baby needs milk, you need the Bible and to be obedient to it. And it is gracious. The Lord is gracious. And so that's that first picture. It's a pretty cool picture, isn't it? A pretty clear picture. The next one he gives is stones. The next picture is stones. And we see that in verses 4-8. He says, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone," talking about Jesus, the Lord, "is coming to us as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Talking about Jesus, he is that stone that's coming, that did come, and he is chosen of God, and he is precious. He says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." The house where that was made up by stones, where spiritual sacrifices were made, is clearly the temple. That's where that happened. And what he's saying is because Jesus Christ came, this stone, this living stone, he's our living hope, he's a living stone. Later in the text, he calls him the chief cornerstone. He is the corner or the foundation to everything that God is going to do into the future. The people of God are made into a spiritual house. There's a sense in which Christians are priests, but they're also the temple. Paul says, what do you not know? That your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And so there's a sense in which individually we're the temple. There's also a sense, he's saying that we're the house of God together. We are as lively stones built up as a spiritual house. Verse 6, wherefore also is contained this in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So here he's basically saying that believers in God prove what God was wanting to do, to build this new spiritual temple, this spiritual house. In a sense, he's talking about all believers. He's talking about the church. And he's saying that that there are some that believe and he's precious to them. He refers to that Old Testament passage. To some, Jesus is the point at which they're offended at him. They don't believe in him. And at that point, they are not a part of that same temple. And so you have this picture of stones. The last one you've got is citizens, citizens, and where the word babes and the word stones were actually in the text, here citizens is a word that's implied in the text. You're just going to see that in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So we were part of the temple, now we're priests, right? A holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him, Jesus, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. There's that idea of citizens. You're a holy nation. You're the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now the people of God are not just made up. And this is how it's always been, but there's not this nation in the sense of an ethnic nation. It's always been the people of God who believed in God, who trusted in God, and they did that by trusting in Christ. So in the times past, you Gentiles especially were not part of that. Now you are. And you're not in it because of some ethnic perspective. You're there because of Christ, right? You're the people of God. Before had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So now we're part of what God's doing. Now we're a part of the people of God. God is our God. We are his people. We are built into this thing that this holy temple by being stones where the Holy Spirit is indwelled, and we're part of what God is doing in the world. And then we're babes that grow as we desire and as we take in the milk of the Word of God. So just to summarize, and I think that the curriculum did a good job summarizing some applications here. Believers grow in spiritual maturity through studying and applying God's word. There's no doubt about that. We get the word into us, and so the word is what comes out of us in obedience. And obedience looks like evangelism. It looks like growing in sanctification, being more and more like Christ. It looks like us having a ministry. That's what comes out of us as we take in God's word. We serve people. We share with people. We do evangelism. We do discipleship. We do service. God calls believers to be his representatives in the world. That's part of what he's called us to. And we're corporately united as God's chosen and holy people. God is my father, so those who are in Christ are my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a part of that family of God in that sense. And so we're part of that holy nation, that peculiar people. So we're babes. We're stones, and we're citizens, and now we ought to live like it. I hope that helps you. I hope it helps you think about your own identity in Christ and helps you think through how to deliver this lesson to your class. Have a great day.